Well, what an audience. It's a great honor and privilege to be here, obviously. Thanks. I'm sort of pretty helpless a lot of the time. President Austin, fellow honorary degree recipient, distinguished faculty and trustees, staff, alumni, family and friends, and students. This is a very emotional and wonderful day for you, the students, you, the parents and families, and you, the faculty, and indeed for me. We are all of us having our lives and achievements acknowledged and celebrated. You, the students in particular, you have weathered the dangers of growing up, got to college, stayed here, and won your just reward. You should feel very pleased with yourselves, and just this particular day of your lives, no one will grudge it to you. No one is going to say to you, at least today, you should have worked harder, you should have spent less, you should have gone to bed earlier, you should have kept away from this boy or that girl, you should have walked the dog more often, not treated this house as an hotel, whatever. They're just going to say, well done, and if they are parents, they will utter a great sigh of relief. They got you to this point safely. I too have got my degree, if a long, long way down the line, and it feels pretty good, and I am old enough to utter my own sigh of relief. You have resisted drink, drugs, and idleness, all the temptations along the way. You must have, at least sufficiently well enough, not to have fallen by the wayside. I had a childhood in which even a glass of wine was seen as a gross extravagance and danger. And at my first college party, finally liberated, I drank and ate a dish of spaghetti bolognese and was so ill it took me days to raise my head from my pillow.
Drunk jokes.
I was completely cured, I may say, of spaghetti bolognese. I never touched it again. All my life, 50 years of it, and still I can't eat it. Truly, things never go quite how they ought to or how you expect. I am very proud, flattered, and honoured to be here, and indeed are quite surprised when I consider what has gone on along the way. I am a writer. I get reviews. Some of them are quite nasty. I think the whole world must surely see them and despise me. I do not notice the good ones. I say things which are true, and other people would rather were not true, and there is no better way of getting yourself into trouble. Still, you wanted me. Thank you. You will have photos taken today, and you will show them to your children on their graduation day, and they will look at the clothes you are wearing and your haircuts and probably fall about with mirth. Imagine them, the youngsters of 2030, their sideburns shaking with laughter. Perhaps they'll be genetically engineered, designer babies, bred for looks and intelligence, and not left to chance as ours were. The future can look pretty scary, but it's exciting too, and it is all yours. You might fairly complain that the older generations have bequeathed you something of a mixed inheritance. Global warming, for example. But you come out of this splendid university, UConn. You are trained to think properly, feel sensitively, and you'll cope. you will take social responsibility on yourselves. Because I do believe that what today's society, today's education, has given your generation in abundance, as has never happened before in history, is this. It's empathy. Now, empathy is simply the ability to understand what it's like to be someone else. Without empathy, social and political cooperation between nations and peoples is a trudging, tragic business. With it, it's a matter of easy common sense, the victory of goodwill. The very technology of the present, keeping you students on your cell phones to each other, keeping you up late at night on MySpace or YouTube, is what fosters the empathy the future depends on. The pundits need not really fret about it. When it comes to social responsibility, I have no doubt that you, graduates of UConn, with this great new capacity for empathy, will deliver. And good, yes. And parents, friends, families, an emotional day for you too. I have four boys, now all grown. Two graduated, two did not, 50% success rate. Though the other two do seem to be doing well enough. I also have three grown stepsons, so I do know what parenting is like. Seven boys. And I have come to believe that on the children's birthdays, it's the parents should get the flowers and the gifts. Just a token of the children's respect and regard. The annual bonus for having survived another year bringing them up. An apology card might be in order sometimes. Which is not to say that our children are not our pride and joy, the reason for our existence. They are. And today is the day we can publicly declare, look at them, didn't we do well, didn't we just? And if there was trouble on the way getting them here, apparently none of it's their fault. But neither, thank the Lord, is it yours. Research comes out of my country, England, which tells us that for young persons, the diurnal clock gets out of kilter. It is normal and natural for them to rise at midday and go to bed at 4 in the morning. And it is unkind to try and stop them. It is quite normal for hormones to turn late adolescents into strangers to their parents, to make them snarl and snap when once they smiled and beamed, and the boys swear and the girls slam doors. It was normal. It was no one's fault. So you see, new graduates, you are exonerated by research. Your sins on this commencement day are washed away. You couldn't help it. Welcome to the world of adulthood, where everyone leaps out of bed with the alarm clock, goes to bed at a sensible time, and knows what they're doing. Yeah. Because quite a few of us, it's true, never grew out of adolescence. You will meet us through life all the time. An emotional day as well for your teachers, for everyone on this platform, though they may be better practiced at hiding it. For 4 or 5 years, they have been in locus parentis. They have had the responsibility of bringing you to adulthood, of delivering you out into the world with your minds trained, your bodies fit, and your souls tranquil. It is a great responsibility and a great privilege, and we feel it. I can say we, because after a lifetime of active non-teaching, I am now in charge, albeit theoretically, of a department of creative writing at the University of Brunel in London. And I know the rewards and trials of teaching and the seriousness with which we take the task and the pride we have in your achievements, which are our achievements too. Being proud of you on this day we can feel proud of ourselves. And we also rather fear for you, I must admit, because it's quite scary out there in the world. And we know it can take a year or two or more to get settled, because you'll want to find a job that suits you without quite knowing what that is. And all I can say, as a parent to seven, any job is better than none. Yeah, quite. And you never know what suits you until you try, and in the end, miraculously, your skills will find you out. Society wants you, needs you, and there are more jobs out there than are dreamt of in any career manual's philosophy. Words of advice from the old to the young are traditional at this time and will rightly go unheeded. But coming out of the creative writing environment, I'm going to read you a poem. Prose on a good day is not so different from poetry, or at any rate ought not to be. It just has to be publishable poetry. Now the poem is If. It was written in 1895 by Rudyard Kipling. It has inspired many a parody because its very simplicity is to the sophisticated quite embarrassing. So stand by to be embarrassed, but listen well and consider it, because it is worth considering, and a good account of the tribulations we all endure as we go through life and somehow manage to overcome. Kipling sometimes gets a bad press because he had the values of his time and wrote out of them. But it is a very bad idea to spurn what was written in the past because it does not accord with what we think today. In 100 years' time, what we believe now will seem rather odd, like the clothes we wear, but we do not deserve to be disregarded because of it. In 100 years' time, probably no one will eat meat, if only because of the methane animals produce. And carnivores will be seen as repulsive. But that does not mean the future should not read and appreciate, say, Kurt Vonnegut's books, just because he ate steak and chips. This is how the Kipling poem reads. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it all one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. A real pity the word woman doesn't scan and daughter doesn't rhyme with run. But nothing there you notice about war, nothing about empire, just the wisdom of a grown adult. And now women too have battles to fight, incomes to earn, status to aim for, the world to contend with. So we just have to translate the poem in our head, or else see man as inclusive of women. Yet I do wonder what today's female version of that poem would be. Perhaps someone here would try and write it. I wouldn't want you to feel that with commencement day, all possibilities of assignments were finally over. Life, you will find, is one long assignment to deliver with the best will and the best results that you possibly can. Thank you.